And welcome, folks. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. Tuned in, whether deliberately or accidentally. If it's an accident, stay with us. If it's deliberate, stay with us. Join the chat. Join Rumble and follow us on Rumble. That's the Hagmann Report on Rumble. Okay, simple as that. Please join Rumble. Create a free account. It's nothing. I mean, you don't get hassled or nothing. You just create a free account. And then you click the follow the Hagmann Report button. You don't even have to watch us. Just follow us, okay? You know, it's simple as that. All right. Big announcement, man. I'll tell you what. We could probably do a show 24/7 and probably keep up with the news that way. We wouldn't be any good, and we certainly would we wouldn't be that fresh, tell you that. But we could do it. But because of that, because of the level of the news and stuff that's happening, and especially there's something else too behind this, especially what may happen, because Donald Trump, interestingly enough, I don't know how many people saw this. He left behind detailed instructions should he be assassinated by a foreign power. Did you know that? Did you see that, folks, in the chat? Did you see that? Yeah. Yeah, he did. He left behind detailed instructions should he be killed by a foreign power, specifically Iran. As he pointed out, whether or not that's, you know, Iran is naming Iran. But obviously Iran's after his backside. You know why, right? Because they want him. I mean, Soleimani. Ring a bell? The reason I mention all of that, and with all of the news, I have the distinct honor and pleasure to ask a gentleman, a young man that's been with Hagmann Investigative Services, Hagmann Report for quite some time, and he's been working in the background. I asked him to come on air because he's a really great researcher. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. And, we're putting more people into the news, okay, into the research, so you don't have to. So we can provide the best, in my view, the best in one spot, so you don't have to do what we do, and that's go to 50 different places to really compile a list of things that are really important. For example, today, Pam Bondi, well, she got the cabinet position as U.S. Attorney General. K-5446 to confirm Pam Bondi. That was a full Senate. Looks like RFK and Kash Patel are going to be in a similar boat this week. Okay, now we're still far behind that of Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, bone smoking Obama, but and his, you know, significant other, Big Mike. But so we're still behind because I think by this time it was 88 nominations to President Trump's whatever it is now. I don't have the running tally with me. That, a couple of things before I bring on, as I stated, I asked Josh Mez. I didn't say his name, did I? But he's the, Josh Mez is a young man. He's very knowledgeable. And he has a lot of information as well about AI. Okay. And about crypto and about the things that us old people, we just don't know, you know, anything about. And he's got the ability.
Jibbity nonsense.
Joe, brother, man, yeah, brother, man, my ass. Sorry. Joe, it's nonsense to your oatmeal brain. But I'll tell you something. There are things happening right now, especially with the Treasury. And I think the things that, when I spoke to Josh and I said, look, come on, because and the folks in the meeting on Sunday met him as well. Okay, so I think that those in the chat that were at the meeting on Sunday, I think you liked him, right? We mean no. I'm kidding, of course. No, he's knowledgeable. But again, the reason I asked him to come on is because of the depth of his knowledge, as well as the things that we need to talk about. And you know, I just can't cover it all. So I don't know if you know this, but Carolyn Glick is now working with Beebe as a special international representative. Yes, Carolyn Glick. I know Carolyn and Red River Patriot. Thank you so much. Yeah, I did know that. I didn't know exactly what capacity she was serving with Netanyahu, but thanks for letting me know. Okay, so with that, we've got a lot to cover again today from the most and I'm going to get Josh Mez's take on us taking over the Gaza Strip to we have to continue talking about USAID. I know that sounds boring to you, but Glenn Beck and Eric the Tech, if you don't mind, the Liberty Daily's got the primary headline on USAID. And that's the first large print headline Liberty Daily. If you can grab that links to a Rumble of Glenn Beck, so we can play that when we're ready for that. Appreciate that. I didn't include that in the show notes, but I will. And something happened yesterday, by the way, folks, on our website. You'd have to click the watch the video, or click here to watch a video, as opposed to the video dropping into the slot. I don't know what happened. Hopefully that'll be repaired by tonight. So, with that, let's bring on Josh Mez. Josh, how are you, sir?
Hello, sir.
Hey, it's good to have you. Yeah, man, it's good to have you. Looking good, and you're in. Just getting out of the gym, or what? I'm kidding. You know what, folks? Meet Josh Mez again. He's been behind the scenes for quite some time. He's got a lot of great information. So let me ask you. Your take on, well, what's the biggest news of the day in your estimation? Because we got to start somewhere. You saw the show prep. Where do we start? What's the big news of the day?
I think it's clearly Donald Trump announcing that we should take over Gaza.
Yeah, I do too. And folks in the chat, I'd love to get your take on that. What do you think? When he said that, did you get the idea that he would, that the U.S. would, you know, make that a territory of the U.S.? I mean, is that what you were thinking, or do you think he would just? I mean, what does that even mean, in your estimation?
You know, I think I'm still trying to process it all myself. It's a big announcement, and could have biblical implications with it. It could have, obviously, it's going to stir up a lot of dust there in the Middle East. I don't know if, you know, I think he has a grand idea of world peace. I think that is his ultimate gesture. And I think he is thinking large enough that I think he actually thinks he can achieve that. And I think this would be a milestone in completing it, but I don't know. It's you got to take a deep breath and kind of hope for the best right now. I haven't had, being that just happened before the show, I haven't had a lot of time to really dig into that, but it's something that we'll definitely be getting into.
You know, the speed at which things are happening, especially over the last, well, since the 20th, it's even leaving me breathless. I mean, he has thrown everything out there. And I look at this as kind of like a Greenland thing or a Canada thing, you know?
Yes.
Man, because I can't see us, I can see us putting money, labor, effort into rebuilding Gaza, but I certainly can't see us having a permanent presence there. Maybe Trump Casino.
Right.
Hotel and casino, but I don't know. Biblical implications, indeed. I do think, I think. Well, here's what he said, folks. This is cut one, really simple. I mean, if you're just waking up to this news or just getting home from work, or if you're at drive time in the West, or if you're just having lunch in Hawaii, all of which I know where people are listening and watching this. Here's what he said. This is cut one. It's a minute long. Here it is.
The only reason the Palestinians want to go back to Gaza is they have no alternative. It's right now a demolition site. This is just a demolition site. Virtually every building is down. They're living under fallen concrete that's very dangerous and very precarious. They instead can occupy all of a beautiful area with homes and safety, and they can live out their lives in peace and harmony instead of having to go back and do it again. The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job, do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
Well, Josh is right about that. I mean, doing the same thing over and over again, obviously, is stupid. Somebody in the chat mentioned about troops on the ground. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's going to have other Middle Eastern countries do that lifting for us. Maybe we'll go in there and clear up some of the stuff left over. But I don't know. Or maybe this is all bluster. I mean,
well, we have to remember, with every single negotiation Trump has started, he has always started from a very outlandish position, where he basically starts out with something that seems completely unrealistic and just way out of left field, he's really swinging for the fence here. And then he brings the parties to the negotiating table, and he basically comes to terms with both sides on a deal that it favors us, but it's fair to both sides. So I think it's something that probably what his play is here as well. I think you've seen it time and time and time again. And just like with these tariffs over the weekend, everybody was freaking out. They started.
By the way, you called that on Sunday. Well, even before that, you called everything about that, about the tariffs. You said, I'm not going to say what you said, but go ahead. And I was amazed because although I kind of knew it, I wasn't sure. And you said, watch this. And that's exactly
right. Like I had said, by the end of the week, the relations are going to be back to normal. Everybody's going to be happy, and both countries are going to bend the knee, and that's exactly what they did. We can survive without them very easily. I think we're 70 over 70% of the Canadian economy. So if we decided to impose those tariffs, they would be in trouble really quickly. So the whole thing was to just get some troops on the border and try to curb that flow of fentanyl through the border.
You know, I was speaking to a couple of people earlier today. Jack Posowick. Anyway, watch him, because he's going to be going into some certain positions. Hopefully I'm not talking out of school, but anyway, the northern border presents a really bad, you think it's bad in the southern border. 75% of the most wanted are coming over from the north, which is, I went 5,500 miles long, I think. Maybe I'm not, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And, I think 40% of the fentanyl is coming over the northern border. So yes. So suddenly Trudeau found his nutsack and said, okay, we'll put some people at the border. But for that length, man, I don't know if that's just a, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, Trudeau, I don't know if he's serious or if he's just attempting to placate President Trump. Your thoughts? I mean, is that going to be effective?
I think he is exactly. He's just trying to placate Trump right now.
I mean, what am I just going to do?
There's a long way to go with Canada.
Excuse me. Stop or I'll yell louder. You know, I mean.
Yeah. And I think, CBP reported they're making a big deal because they were saying, well, only 47 pounds of fentanyl was caught at the northern border. And then when you look into those numbers, okay, if that is accurate, if that's what CBP reported, that CBP also only says that they only get approximately 3% of the fentanyl coming across the border of the northern border. So if you do the calculations out to that, you're looking at 100 that could kill 2 milligrams. They say 2 milligrams of fentanyl can kill someone. So you're looking at hundreds of millions of people. It could kill the United States twice over with as much fentanyl as crossed the northern border.
I mean, you were around a number of years ago when a police officer opened up a laptop. I was with a police officer, and this police officer opened up a laptop, and I don't want to say went down because he didn't go down, but just the residue, the dust of fentanyl on the around the keyboard in this laptop, when he opened it, it became aerosolized, airborne almost, and he was like really unsteady on his feet. So you know how deadly this is. Imagine this being used as a dispersal agent, you know, somewhere. I mean, wow, as opposed to just killing off one by one. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something we have to be cognizant of here. I think with the speed at which the Trump administration is moving, that I think we're playing with fire. I really do. I think he's trying to oust the deep state as fast as he possibly can. But when you're quarter snake, you got to be really careful here. And I know, and when he said he is going to the Super Bowl apparently this weekend. That gives me a little bit of pause right there because we both know there's just a terrorist attack there. Yep. We know that, there's something really, fishy going on with what happened in Las Vegas.
To me, that's not ballsy. That's stupid of him going there. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's in his best interest to go, especially because he doesn't have a lot of his cabinet even confirmed yet. So right. We don't know, we don't know who within the FBI is going, FBI has a lot. I saw a press conference today where they have thousands of agents in the area. But we don't know what's, we're still waiting for the JFK files to come out as well. So we don't know what's going on with that. I'm not comfortable with them going, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I'm not either. And I'll tell you, folks, I'll tell you a story kind of out of school in a sense, but Josh, everyone knows that this agency, Hagman Investigative Services, which is the parent company of the Hagman Report, we were tasked with, of course, investigating Butler, the assassination attempt in Butler. And And I bring this up for now for a reason, obviously, because of him, President Trump being a target. Not only after that, 64 days after that, in Florida, but there have been other attempts on his life, folks. You know this. You've got to know this. Public and not public, but, I think public was back in, 16, 17, somewhere around there. But anyway, the reason I bring this up now is because Josh Mez, of course, did some things with respect to that investigation, and actually made a phone call, overtly made a phone call, and made a phone call to, and again, I hope you're not going to shoot me after the show, but made a phone call to someone in government and asked a simple question and was met. Now, this is a friend, a good friend. I mean, I don't know how else to describe this person.
A source,
but a friend, because I know, I mean, this person was a friend. You were at different functions with this person, right?
Correct.
But how did that go? Asking a question for just a teeny weeny favor, a little bit of information, and the source
can't help you.
Can't help you. It wasn't. Geez, I'd like to help you, but no.
Yeah.
It was can't help you.
Immediately.
Yeah. Am I allowed to say what part of government or no?
No, let's not do that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll just say it was in the intelligence. Well, there's how many, 17, 19 agencies. Anyway, so it was in that arena. But yeah. So, and the reason I bring that up is because there's a threat from within as well, right? I mean, don't you?
That's what the whole thing is, drain the swamp, going to get rid of the deep state. Obviously, there's a threat from within. I think that's probably the biggest threat to him right now. You see how they're reacting to this, the Gaza news today, yep. Protests outside the White House right now. You see them protesting out in front of USAID right now. So he is really, he's stirring the pot up pretty heavily right now. And I don't think it's very wise to be going out into a massive public event like that.
Well, plus, and I've got to say this, okay, if I was the president, which there's no way in hell in this life or any life possible I'd ever be a president of anything, I mean of the country, he's going to screw up other people. He's going to screw up people go in there with their families. Because obviously the security is going to have to be greater. So, these things are supposed to be fun. And I certainly, if I was him, I wouldn't want to go and create a problem for other people going to the game. That's all I'm saying. Traffic's bad enough. And
yeah.
You don't need that crap. So, all right. Well, cool. Yeah.
But, one thing we've learned, that there's always a plan behind the plan with Donald Trump. So, I guess it's just a wait and see type deal right now.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Oh, okay. Since there's enough people in now, I just want to mention Randy Taylor's doing well. He may be released from the hospital tomorrow. I just want to let everyone know he may be released from the hospital tomorrow. He's doing that well. Okay. If not, it'll be the next day. Things are looking good for him. So he appreciates your prayers and your kindness. And I just wanted to, instead of at the top of the program, when some people just gloss over that and or at the backside, I just wanted to say that. So there you go. Okay. And again, for those people just joining me, Josh Mez, he is an investigative researcher with Hagman Report. He's kind of like the Darren Beatty. That's who he reminds me of, Darren Beatty. Folks, you know who Darren Beatty is, right? With Bannon? Josh, Darren Beatty. Yeah. He's that focused and laser-like. Okay. Doge. Have you seen the threats against Doge and D.C.? prosecutor in D.C., Ed Martin, is going after some people, I think, on Reddit and other for doxing some Doge employees. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. There's a big community on Reddit right now that's absolutely going ballistic about this because they do not want Elon having access to the United States Treasury Department. And it's one of those things where, yes, we want him to – we all want to expose everything that's going on behind the scenes. But on the flip side, you are also giving somebody unprecedented access to every single point of to the entire United States government infrastructure. So I can understand where there would be some I would understand where there's some concern there, honestly. But if Donald Trump is putting him there, we have to make up our mind. Are we going to trust what's happening right now? Or are we not? And it's great that we have some skepticism there. You have to have some level of skepticism about what's going on.
That's true. But
honestly, it had to be done, and there was no other way to do it. And they're moving at such a blistering pace right now that no lawsuit or there's no way that they can shut them down, that they can stop this before we get what we need in terms of the finding the corruption and the information that we need.
Well, I agree, but let me ask the chat a question, and whoever gets this right gets a lifetime supply of freeze-dried water. Okay. I'm kidding, of course, but to the chat, here is a question for you. Elon Musk, when did he get his security clearance? Or stated, asked differently, who gave him his security clearance? Anyone in the chat? Now, I'm about 5 to 10 seconds behind in chat, so we can just hum along. We can sing the theme to Jeopardy or hum the theme to Jeopardy. Who knows? But I'm waiting for chat. Who gave Elon Musk his security clearance? Hey, Rehoboth Farms from Biden. Absolutely. Biden granted Musk his security clearance. Weighing in again is I Question All, and then we'll leave it right there. Yeah. Did you know that, Josh? Biden gave him security clearance.
I did see that.
Okay. See, I can't keep up with you. Go on.
He got his security clearance in 2022, but we also have to remember he is also running SpaceX and Starlink. So he probably has more information than
More
information than the government already.
And to clarify, Trump may have extended his security clearance. Renewed. But Biden was the main thrust behind that. But I found that interesting. Okay. I agree with you on this. You kind of wonder that much power, who knows? But I think there are going to be huge checks on that power. Now, Doge, since we're speaking about Elon, I've got a clip. It's video 2. Doge is asking for an accounting of FBI employees connected to J6. Now, even though we have to stay and get back to USAID because of some really important stuff, I wanted to hit this since we're talking about Elon. What do you think? What do you think, Maz? You think it's all right? Video 2. You think? Doge asking? Okay. Let's roll cut 2. And this is about Doge asking for an accounting of FBI employees connected to J6. And remember yesterday I said this. The FBI has 13,700 field agents out of 56 field offices, right, across the U.S. They've got 37,000 employees in total. That includes the secretaries and stuff. And Hoover's secretary, who was allegedly stuffed and kept in the back office. There were 2,500 investigations or people under investigation, which would mean two FBI agents per person at the minimum. And you've got people going, or the FBI agents going after the church, the Latin mass goers, the people who supposedly violated the FACE Act, the abortion stuff, as well as the parents of school boards. So you've got over half of the FBI force agents going after American citizens for non-crimes, basically. Okay, consider that when you watch this. This is cut two. We're going to watch it together.
So Steve, DOGE was there today, but this is unrelated to the survey that was sent out over the weekend related to a memo from the acting Deputy Attorney General, Emil Bove. And he was asking for a system-wide accounting of all of the FBI employees, 35,000 employees, who in any way, shape, or form touched a January 6th case. So I actually posted that questionnaire on my ex account, Julie_Kelly2. It was a pretty detailed questionnaire asking the employees, you know, their status at the time, and about 12 to 15 different line items. You know, were you a witness at trial? Did you conduct a raid? Were you involved in an arrest? Did you collect surveillance? So it was, this is seeking a real granular accounting for the FBI's unprecedented investigation 4 years into the events of January 6th. So what CNN reported today is that about 5,000 employees responded to that questionnaire, copping to the fact that they had been involved in a J6 case one way or the other. Steve, I don't believe that number is accurate at all, but that's what CNN is reporting. So these results were then given to Mr. Bove, and he will then decide or wait for Kash Patel, obviously General Bondi, to determine what they are going to do with those agents who were involved in that investigation.
So hold it. Go back over that one more time. Let me make sure I understand the math. What were the results of this?
Well, all we know right now is what CNN is reporting. And what they are reporting is that 5,000 FBI employees sent back a survey indicating that they had been involved in J6 cases. So this is related to the survey I was just mentioning. People can, again, see screenshots of that survey. But this is something that Mr. Bove has been seeking. And actually, it was January 6th, and then I also believe they also are looking at agents that have already gotten rid of some who were involved in the raid and investigation of Mar-a-Lago. But this is J6 case specific. And again, what CNN said, 5,000 employees, I believe that figure is much higher because, Steve, you had, before the Capitol siege unit was shut down after the president took office, you had almost 1,600 defendants. What we've seen since then is that the DOJ had opened 2,400 cases. So they still, if President Trump hadn't won, they were still planning to arrest and prosecute hundreds of more J6ers. And we saw this the week before Inauguration Day. The DOJ was still announcing new arrests and putting people on trial and trying to get them into prison. So we're supposed to believe that only 5,000 FBI employees out of 56 field offices, what the DOJ and FBI said is the biggest criminal investigation in the department's history, that touched every single aspect of and utilized every single tool at the FBI's disposal, only 5,000. No, that number, I suspect, is much higher, but they're trying to minimize it for now. But I'm sure Cash and others will get to the bottom and get the accurate figure sometime soon.
then why the, this will be a lot, you agree that this will be a logical question for them to ask, since this was the largest criminal investigation and clearly was done to suppress the voices of MAGA. Why the meltdown over just asking the questions and getting the data, ma'am?
Well, because this is part of the process of exposing the DOJ and FBI's abuse of the law, denial of due process rights for these defendants, and launching a war on terror against President Trump and his supporters. So this is just part of that accountability. So they want to conceal that as much as possible as the overall January 6th narrative continues to unravel. So you had three lawsuits filed today on behalf of FBI agents and employees seeking to halt the collection of this data and release any names out to the public. Now, Steve, get this. This is what I find so ironic. The FBI, anonymous FBI agents and employees are claiming that this process is violating their First Amendment rights and their Fifth Amendment rights, which is exactly what the FBI did in every single January 6th case, including the president. They investigated First Amendment protected political activity. That was the basis of the entire investigation. Not to mention the Fifth Amendment violation, Sixth Amendment, Fourth Amendment, can go down the list.
Okay, we can cut that. Josh, before my head explodes, your comments on this, because, I find it, it's okay to me. I have no problem with them filling out a form. Were you involved in this investigation? If so, what capacity? When you have people like Tony Gonzalez down there in, well, he's with DOJ, never mind. But when you have FBI agents going through Melania's underwear drawer while boxes of classified files from the time when he was a senator sit in Biden's garage, that's BS. So I mean, you got to clear out the rubbish from the FBI. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that any FBI agent that decided they were going to go along with those investigations were clearly in violation of the Constitution. They violation of their oath of office. They can, you know, I have seen lots of things on X. My friend was just escorted out of the office. He was, you know, they're very loyal, dedicated FBI agents. They're loyal to the country. This and that, but at the end of the day, they know that January 6th was what everybody knows what it was. Everybody knows what it was, and anybody that was there investigating, that's trying to put people away. It wasn't an insurrection. Everybody knows it wasn't an insurrection. So it's the dumbest narrative that you could possibly think of. So if it was an insurrection, guess what? They would have had the Capitol, okay? They wouldn't have been stopped. So the fact that these FBI agents knowingly decided to investigate these January 6th people, you can't excuse it. You cannot excuse it. You have to find out who they were, and you have to take corrective action. You know, some of them might just get reprimanded. And the other one's got to go. They cannot be trusted. They're not worthy of being in that intelligence agency.
And it blows my mind that, Josh, that this is – Kash Patel isn't even there yet.
Yeah.
Okay. What's it going to be like when Patel walks through the doors? Again, I read his book, Government Gangsters, and if what I think is going to happen happens, it's going to be an even bigger, metaphorically speaking, bloodbath at the FBI. I mean, you're going to have a complete turnover of probably 90% of every agent, every non-credentialed person in the buildings, plural. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know. But rightfully so, right? I mean, because you can't be doing... They swore an oath, like you said, they swore an oath to the Constitution, and their party loyalty came before the Constitution, so...
I mean, it might not have even been party loyalty. They could be politically neutral, but the fact that they went along with a baseless investigation, which anybody with anybody with eyes knows that it was baseless. Law enforcement cannot be there just to say, I'm just doing my job. That is no longer an acceptable excuse. You have to, there's right and there's wrong, period. And if you're going to violate your oath of office or your oath to the Constitution, then, sorry. It's, that's pretty cut and dry. It's plain and simple.
Yeah. That's such a great point. I should have thought of that as well, but no, you're exactly right on this. So with the confirmation of Pam Bondi now, what do you think of Pam Bondi? I'm just curious because I know we had a conversation similar to this, but what's your thoughts on Pam Bondi?
I think she's going to be fantastic. She is a force to be reckoned with, and I think she is she's one of the people that does understand that there's a difference between good and evil, and there is the acknowledgement of that she has said in her confirmation hearings about following the letter of the law in the Constitution. And I don't think she's always been like that. I don't think she's going to deviate from that at all. There's a lot of concerns about her just being a Trump, Trump yes man, but in all honesty, like Trump, you kind of should be a yes man for Trump at this point.
True. Okay. okay. Yeah. I really cannot wait to see the entire cabinet running on all cylinders. If the last couple of weeks, by the way, we probably should have opened the show with this. My bad. But, Josh, did you happen to see, and Eric the Tech for reference, this is, cut three. It's about a minute and a half. Did you happen to see Carolyn Leavitt sharing a recap of President Trump's first 2 weeks? Did you catch that, Josh?
I did.
Okay, folks, I want to play this for the audience. I watched this and I thought, wow, the amount of things that he did, that President Trump has done in the last 2 weeks, no wonder the left's heads are exploding. No wonder the deep state is on the run. Take a listen to this. This is cut three. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt shares recap of President Trump's first 2 weeks. A minute and a half. Here it is.
We are 2 weeks in, and President Trump is already delivering big wins for the American people. Let's go through the facts. On the border, President Trump declared a national emergency, deployed the military, ended catch and release, and reinstated Remain in Mexico. And already, illegal crossings are down 95%. We are resuming construction of the border wall, and Colombia's president is now offering his own plane for deportation of illegal Colombian immigrants. On the economy and energy, President Trump unleashed American energy, declared a national energy emergency, and killed Joe Biden's radical electric vehicle mandate. Wall Street is booming, AI investments skyrocketed to $500 billion, and there's $20 billion flowing into U.S. data centers across our country. President Trump is restoring law and order. He labeled the drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, and he is deporting criminal illegal aliens, and he signed the Laken Riley Act into law. Draining the swamp, President Trump signed more than 45 executive orders. DEI has been purged from the government and our military, and lazy federal workers have been ordered back to the office. And when it comes to free speech and transparency, President Trump took 12 times more press questions than Joe Biden did in a week. reinstated 440 silenced journalists to the press room, and ended government censorship.
Promises made, promises kept, and we're just getting started.
Wow. Thoughts? I mean, it is what it is, but any thoughts you might have on that?
It's awesome.
I mean,
that's pretty easy one there. That's it's pretty incredible to see what they've done so far. You know, I've seen a lot of people saying that, making the argument that they are not deporting as many people as had been done in previous administrations, up that they're on pace to be behind Obama or behind Biden in terms of how many people they deported. But when you have 95 less encounters at the border, how
95%,
many?
95%, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So how many of those, specifically back to the Obama administration, where they're comparing the Obama administration to the Trump administration, how many of those people that were deported were as a result from first encounters at the border themselves, not from within the cities? Not with criminal aliens that are already roaming the streets. How many of those people that got deported were detained at the border and then deported back? Because right now, there's nobody now coming to the border. So, of course, those numbers are going to show lower.
Of course, yeah. And that's a great point that no one – I have not heard that. I have not heard that talked anywhere, talked about anywhere. That's a great point. Especially given the 95% decrease number. Okay. Wow. Yeah. When you think about it. So the numbers, I guess that would be part of the Trump effect. And when you look at it, the numbers are obviously, you're comparing apples to oranges between Obama and President Trump this term. So yeah. Wow, man. That's incredible. It really is. You know, speaking of the border encounters, Josh, I have a cut four. Again, you know, this goes into USAID, which USAID is nothing more. USAID, I shouldn't say USAID. USAID. USAID is nothing more than a cutout for the CIA. And you saw, we played yesterday a clip by Mike Benz about what USAID is. But when it comes to the border, folks, did you know this? I believe this is Ben Berkwam, the direct operations USAID, direct operations USAID : illegal immigration was not accidental. And I just, I noted here, you know, exposing it all. This is just a little over 2.5 minutes. But it's important, I think, people understand that the and people in chat, people listening and watching this, they know this. But a lot of people don't know the extent played by the NGOs and the threat by DOGE and President Trump to those NGOs right now. So we'll play cut four and then your take on the other side. Here's cut four.
This place is filled to the brim, over 300 being held right now. They typically hold them for about 72 hours, and they try to move them out of here. But just to give you an idea of the numbers we're talking about, I was just with New York doing some operations this morning, and in New York alone, there are 58,000 criminal illegal aliens that ICE is going after in an office about the size of 250 people. They're going after 58,000 people. There are already 100,000 illegals in New York City alone that are already set for deportation. They just have to go find these guys. There's over 700,000 illegals in New York City who are on the docket to be gone after. And again, this is the tip of the iceberg in what we're talking about. And all while this is happening, while we're putting the tourniquet on the leg, we're stopping the bleeding. President Trump and Tom Homan are stopping the bleeding. As you said, we were coming through the Darien Gap, and I couldn't believe the numbers. And I'm like, where are these people coming from? This was the three-legged stool we were talking about, Steve. This was part of that funding arm. And so So you had the cartels, you had these leftist NGOs, and you had the politicians behind them running, funneling money through these. And it was a direct operation between Secretary Mayorkas, Homeland Security, Secretary Blinken, Department of State, and these controlled flow and these welcoming centers all the way up through. And when we were in Costa Rica, we went from Panama to Costa Rica. All of these places had signs, as you were mentioning, the last guest had on. There were signs celebrating this, showing them the routes, showing them the journey. And by the way, all of those routes, you have to pay the cartel as well. So we're taking our U.S. tax dollars, we're handing it to illegals to invade our country, who then are selling themselves off to the cartel as well. This was not accidental. This was not... They didn't, by happenstance, this was well controlled with our tax dollars.
Yes.
And it caused the devastation that we're seeing today. The reason why there are so many illegals, criminal illegals, and why it's so difficult now to go and apprehend these guys for ICE
to
is because the millions that they brought in under USAID.
The engine room has just informed me they like this. They like the line diagram. What they're recommending to Elon and the team, we'll make sure we get to them. They said, trace out all the money to all the what Taunton and Berquam are talking about. They want to see a line diagram, right, to see where the cash flows. They want to see the and put it by date and what happened at the border and people coming across with their caravans. Trace it all. Expose every agency, every person, every company, every bus, air, food, shelter, all of it.
Josh, who do you think is receiving the money? I mean, there is so much money that is being made by NGOs, but also by politicians, I believe. Your thoughts on where this money is going, especially via USAID?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? We're just now getting to see the extent of the corruption. Just the tip of the iceberg that we're seeing at this point. You know, we see flights every single hour of every single day. We're flying migrants into this country from around the world. Those flights were bought and paid for by somebody. Where did that money originate from? And where did it go? And who was getting paid? Now, there's I'm sure there's going to be a lot coming out in terms of, and it might not make headlines, but there'll be a lot of information coming out with some of these airlines that were flying a lot of these illegals in. Who awarded that contract to those airlines, and where were they funded from? I'm guessing a lot of it is going to point directly back to this. And people are making a huge deal about how much money it's going to cost us to deport all of these people out. It's going to be a fraction. It's going to be a fraction of what it took to bring everybody in, because these guys have a streamlined process. We know exactly what we're doing. Now, my only concern is I hope we're not using the same airlines that fly them out of here that we use to fly them in.
Wait a minute. Say that again. You're... I'm not sure I get that, and I'm not trying to be obtuse. Say that again. Your only hope is that the
Biden administration was through USAID or various other organizations were flying illegal immigrants in.
Okay.
Every single day, multiple flights a day, all around the country from all around the world.
Right.
I'm very curious that when they get to the bottom of that, because that was one question that was really lingering on my mind for a very long time is how are all of these airlines getting awarded these contracts to do that? Because when you're dealing with the airlines, things are very, very expensive. So where was that money coming from? And I think that's going to be one of the first things that they're going to find. Because it's very expensive to operate those aircrafts around the world like that. And my only concern is, I know we're using the military currently to fly them out, but as Tom Homan said, we're going to open up the aperture as we get the violent criminals off the street. They're going to start going into your everyday illegal alien. So as they open up the aperture, I hope they're not going to use the same airlines to fly those people out that they use to bring them in.
Hmm. I never thought of that. How would we know in at this point? How would we know? We wouldn't know necessarily.
We don't know that yet.
That's a great point. Boy.
Now, a lot of these airlines, they could have been chartered. I'm guessing most of them were chartered by NGOs.
Sure.
And that's probably the route they went. But, you know, we're going to have to – who was getting the kickbacks on that? Because those airlines obviously knew what they were doing. So, you know, there's going to have to be a pretty thorough investigation into who is allowing these airlines to fly all of these illegals into the country? Where were they originating from? What were the origin airports?
Exactly.
And, you know, they're flying children in the middle of the night. You saw those videos where, you know, there'd be aircraft landing in New York with children, unaccompanied minors flying into this country in the middle of the night. So, you know, where did that come from? We have to root that all out. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that Tom Homan's doing is he's stated multiple times. He's one of his goals is to end trafficking of children. So that's, you know, I think that's one of the.
And really all of illegals. And by the way, I do recall that we did follow an aircraft, a chartered aircraft landed at Tom Ridge International Airport up here in Erie, and the occupants were all young, I'm talking young preteen children, you know, from toddler up to maybe 12. And we followed, there were two or three buses, two and a half maybe in total, that went to a sports center up here, and suddenly the children, after probably 36 hours, were gone. And we're talking the significant number, probably a couple, I don't know, 100 and a half maybe. But no one would comment. But anyway, I remember that and thinking, well, where did these kids go? And who's paying for this? And like the buses had no markings on them. The aircraft didn't have any marking. I mean, it didn't say United, for example. So good point too, though. A good point that you made. Wow. And by the way, you heard what Tom Homan said about the governor too, who was New Jersey, Phil Murphy, supposedly harboring an illegal above his garage or something. Did you hear about that? What the hell? These people are just begging to be cited, be charged under federal law. I mean,
Tom Homan, don't mess with him because he doesn't. If he's admitting to a crime on national TV, then Tom Homan's going to be coming for him, and there's no stopping him.
Well, Murphy kind of walked that back. As I would, having met Tom Homan one time, I got to tell you something. That man is, intimidating. I'll get out. Okay. All right. Now, what else? I mean, we got to talk about AI too, to the extent that, that you think it's important, but is there anything before we move on and before AI that you want to address, if that makes sense? I'm not even sure I made sense just now, but because I do have some other things on the FBI. I do have some other things on USAID, which again, it's important because there's a reason that USAID is getting such attention, and it represents an establishment that hates President Trump. It's involved in a lot of covert black projects and such. You want to stick with that for a while, or what do you think?
Well, hey, we're
Okay. I was kind of looking because I didn't want to, because I know that you've got like a lot of information and a lot of knowledge about AI and such, but I do want to get through this so we don't have to come back again and go over this. But USAID, folks, is one of those agencies that exists really at the pleasure or for the pleasure of the CIA and for the use of the CIA. And I think people really need to understand how bad this is. The videos that I took, I put on the show prep yesterday, I did not play. And those are videos 7, 8, and 9. Now, I'm not sure we can get through or we should get through all of them, but at least go through video 7 and Mike Benz, or at least most of it. Mike Benz details the purpose of USAID. This is cut 7. Please pay attention to this because the context for the next two, even if we just touch on the next two, this provides that context. So here is cut 7.
It's a U.S. foreign policy vehicle. You have to understand, everything USAID does by charter is dual use. Under the cover of humanitarian work, they so-called advance U.S. national interests by accomplishing some goal in the region. Now, they don't actually accomplish U.S. national interests in the region. What they do is they accomplish the commercial or political goals of a very small secular elite within the United States and their international partners. So, for example, I've published about hundreds of different USAID scandals, from them claiming to run AIDS prevention clinics in Cuba and in all over South America. And it turns out that the AIDS prevention clinics were actually covers for undercover agents to sow anti-government dissent and to try to organize a revolution in the country. You had the case of Zunzuneo, where USAID took humanitarian funds earmarked for Pakistan and created a fake knockoff Twitter social media site where USAID documents explicitly stated in their own internal documents that the plan was to get 100,000 people in the country to join up to this social media service, luring them in with news feeds predominated by sports news and hurricane updates. And then at the appropriate moment, once enough people were onboarded, to hit them with messages to overthrow their government and take to the streets in smart mobs. You see this time and time again. You will see all over the news and all over these USAID HQ protest day and all over X from the intelligence community and military and statecraft blob folks. You will see them say, "But USAID is funding irrigation canals and famine." If they are doing irrigation canal work, it is because they are trying to control the river systems in the country, in Ethiopia. Or, for example, when they were irrigating the fields in Afghanistan. Well, guess what they were doing there? They were growing the heroin supply. As their companion, the U.S. Institute for Peace, was lobbying the Taliban to keep the heroin supplies flowing, because it would be bad for Afghanistan and the world if they shut down the poppy crops. USAID was funding the irrigation of the those crops in order to keep the supply of heroin flowing. You see this time and time again.
Okay, you can
they
cut
are doing
that, Eric.
Famine relief.
Folks, you get the idea. And Josh, I mean, that's the entirety. The reason for USAID's existence is to do the heavy work behind the scenes, the black projects for the CIA and for the State Department as well. I mean, Hillary Clinton relied on USAID, for example, for a number of things.
Maybe we'll finally find out where that $1 billion for Haiti finally went.
That's a good point. USAID was a big part of that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I was looking at a couple of things. You know what, folks? This being a long format show, we play videos that provide, that I think provide you with the context. We can make them shorter and have less of them. But I think, like in this case, Mike Benz does a terrific job in really explaining things, which brings me to the next one. And then, I'm going to cut you loose on the information on this one. This is, I really want you to tear this up. The reason that USAID needs to be shut down, this is under 2 minutes. This is a lot less. But the first part gave you the context. This part gives you the reason it needs to be shut down, as if you don't already know it. But here it is. Cut eight on the show notes.
Why do we rip the mask off and say it's a CIA, and what is the advantage to the American people? You mentioned that it gave the money to the same sort of folks throughout the world. Who are those folks, and why is it an advantage to the populist nationalist movement in the American working man and woman to basically rip the mask off, face what it is, and then shut it down, sir?
Well, this is a very, very complicated question, and I really hope that Trump World foreign policy folks understand the open heart surgery they are conducting on the way our foreign policy operates around the world. And in terms of why it's a bad thing that USAID does what it does, this is one of these questions that, you know, I've known and followed this stuff for many years, but I never made a crusade about taking it on until USAID got in the business of censoring the internet. And at that point, and censoring Americans on the American internet and censoring American social media companies as a foreign facing humanitarian NGO sponsor, that everyone knows is just the CIA's plausible deniability layer and funding conduit. But when it started to be used against Americans on American soil, that to me was the final straw, that no matter how useful it may be to spend $40 billion a year bribing warlords in Africa, bribing oligarchs in Ukraine, bribing and recruiting terrorists in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Syria, disguising medical supply vans, in Venezuela with boxes of AK-47s and military supplies. The fact is it is no longer a foreign policy instrument. It is a domestic control instrument, and that is the final straw. You can't do that to Americans.
And Josh, you saw a problem. I know you did. You saw Jamie Raskin standing at the doors of USAID along with Ilhan Omar. I wonder how many other elected officials are benefiting from USAID. Well, what are your thoughts? Is money going into their hands? I mean... It's got to be, right?
I think they're making it pretty obvious of who we need to look into, at least.
Yeah. I think so.
I think maybe with some of this, with this USAID stuff, they're maybe finally, we still have, Pam Bondi was asked about the 2020 election. And of course, Trump still goes on and on about the 2020 election as well. I think maybe we'll finally get some answers as well, because one of the things that we'll be interested to see is, I know there's a lot of talk about how Dominion voting systems had servers running in Serbia, and that is, that's documented, where they had they have business entities registered in Serbia, that they had their engineers there. And come to find out that David Petraeus, the former, he actually owns and operates now one of the largest telecom companies in Europe. I believe it's called KKR, you would never know that, but it'd be interesting to see. If there was any USAID money given through an NGO or through any other platform to that to KKR, and because it's could have been those could have been some of the servers they were using to provide some of that information to the Dominions were connected. You know, they're saying Dominion servers were connected to servers in Serbia. I'd be interested to see if there's any connection through that as well.
Okay, so this is the first time I heard about that. That's fascinating to me, that you were able to, well, find that, connect those dots, and find that Petraeus, of course, is involved. And then connect it back to the 2020 election, which I think, folks, we need answers for that. I don't think we're going to be able to really... I mean, we're already moving on, but fully move on until we get answers to really what happened and who is responsible for the theft of the 2020 election. I fully believe that.
If you could just continue the our perfect score. The conspiracy theorists are what, 50-0 now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, earlier, speaking of that, earlier you mentioned about the JFK files being declassified. I think what they were given 15 days or whatever to, that's coming up in the next couple of days, that deadline. Do you think?
I think it was 15 days not to actually release the files. I think it was 15 days to provide a report to the president on how they're going to release the files, I believe.
Oh, well, that sucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's say the files are released today or tomorrow. Do you believe we're going to find anything in those files that we didn't already know? I'm not talking about suspect, but no. Or any smoking guns in those files?
I don't know what we're going to see. I know there's plenty of evidence out there that already suggests that there was a connection to that he was an asset for the CIA, and that he had ties back to Cuba as well. So, you know, I think we're going to might get some more information and confirmation about that type of information. But we'll just have to wait and see. You know, hopefully it's not going to be completely redacted either. So,
you know, one thing I have to say, I was talking with recently with Roger Stone, who wrote a book about the JFK assassination, and his assertion is that LBJ was part of the conspiracy. Lyndon May Johnson, of course, the 36th president of the earth. Yeah. 36, I think it is. Anyway, that he was responsible. Malcolm Wallace and Billy Saul Estes, but Wallace was reportedly the man behind the actual setting up on the ground at Dealey Plaza. So, any thoughts on that? I mean, LBJ being a conspirator in this?
I can definitely see that being possible. I know there's some audio out there of LBJ appointing
Bobby Baker? No. Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover, I believe. I'm going to look this up real quick.
Okay. I know what audio you're talking about, and I wanted to ask you, I don't know, folks, if you heard that recently released audio. And it was, I think Roger Stone released it. As a matter of fact,
it was Alan Dulles. I'm sorry.
Alan Dulles.
Okay. Yeah, he was the director of the CIA. And then, he was a later reported, he was appointed to the Warren Commission by LBJ. So he was fired by JFK, and then he was appointed to run the Warren Commission by LBJ. So the person JFK fired was the person who ended up running the commission.
Right. Yeah. Along with obviously Ford, and if people mm-hmm. understand how Watergate was connected to the assassination, and then Arlen Specter with the magic bullet theory. Yeah. What a bunch of crap that was. And then of course we are to expect, in full transparency, the files on MLK and RFK. So, Again, my question applies. Are we going to see the truth, or are we going to get a bunch of heavily redacted crap from when they come out? What are your thoughts? I mean,
I hope so. I mean, we've been waiting long enough, I think. So,
I think what was it, 50 years at the time? They were supposedly sealed for 50 years, and it's gone far past that. So, with JFK, man, all right. So, all right, there's just a lot. Again, a lot going on. I wanted to tell you this. The CIA, you mentioned that earlier about President Trump's, or I'm sorry, the CIA, you mentioned about, we spoke about the CIA. They're offering now a full buyout option to all employees if they want to. Essentially, they're saying, hey, you want to quit? I'll give you a severance and, so many months pay and you can walk. So that was just announced tonight. And this is something you'll be interested in, Josh. And folks, listen to this. The U.S. Post Office temporarily suspends any packages from China and Hong Kong until further notice. The suspension is effective immediately. Did you happen to see that? That just was announced.
That's news to me. I had not heard that yet.
Yeah. It makes you wonder now. CBS News was reporting that less than an hour ago. It makes me wonder how I'm going to get all my cheap crap from China now. I guess I can just order off of Amazon or eBay, but how's that going to? I mean, that's a post office. You're a logistics guy. Is stuff shipped from the post office, or what would be the reason the post office would say no and other carriers not a problem? I mean,
they can probably do it cheaper through FedEx or UPS, honestly. I would guess it's probably something to do with the cost that they incur doing that.
Okay. But accepting. Okay. Yeah, I guess it still has to get here. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I'd have to look into it because you telling me is the first I've heard about it. So I'd have to see if there's some investigative research on that to see if there's anything behind the scenes going on there. I just don't think there's. The United States Postal Service is probably going to have to, they've probably been contracting all of that out, and it's probably too expensive. That would be my guess.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, especially in these days of cost-cutting maneuvers. All right. All right. That sounds good. All right. Also, I just saw this, and I wanted to get your take on this. You were talking about unrest, riots, protests and stuff. Well, Democratic Representative Arianna Presley, the baldy, she's calling for agitation in the streets. And then she called Elon Musk a Nazi Nepo baby. Nick Sorter had posted this. Probably 3-4 hours ago, saying that this is a call for violence, violence in the streets over the policies of Musk and Trump. Any thoughts on how this is going to play out violence-wise?
I don't know. It was absolutely a call to violence. They're just out in the open saying, let's take it to the streets, or we're going to take it to the court, we're going to take it to Congress, we're going to take it to the street. They absolutely know that it's a call for violence. And I think they're, that is their, that's their MO though. We know that at this point, they can blame Trump, for whatever they want. But then when they do it, they meant peacefully. And they're the ones that are actually calling for violence. So we'll see, when the funds dry out to fund those protests, we'll see how many people are still going to be protesting.
Interesting. When I see the politicians out there and really stirring things up, I have to think, okay, what's going on to make them protest what Musk is doing? And of course, we spoke most of the program about USAID. So I'm thinking those people, to make them that angry, you'd have to be screwing with something like their dog, their child, or their spouse, or their money.
Yeah.
And okay, this would.
Yeah,
be...
everybody's so worried about Elon Musk having access to the United States Treasury information, or don't control our money. And he's going to have our social security numbers. Hey, Elon, if you have my social security number, can you help a brother out here? Because honestly, what is he going to do with our social security numbers? He doesn't need your money. I just don't see how it's relevant if he has access to it. He's not putting them on a hard drive and taking them home with him. He wouldn't be looking at that information anyway. It's not a valid argument, in my opinion. It's hysteria. They know that they are getting caught, and they're trying to use any and all means necessary. And this is the only thing that they have to go on. And Elon's going to sit there and say, hey, okay, what are you going to do about it? It's going to be too late by the time any court would intervene anyway. And if people are worried about their personal information, then you better get off of X, Twitter, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, any of those platforms, because I guarantee you every single one of those platforms has more information than you, than the government probably has on you. So, it's a ridiculous argument to make in the first place.
Well, and I just happened to see, and I'm sure you saw this, and folks, what else would you expect? Maxine Waters in front of the Treasury says, hey, she's attacked Musk and is calling for violence as well. She's saying, shut down the Senate. We are at war. And I won't play the video, but
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And folks, you're welcome. It's beyond amazing. And by the way, when I did mention about the CIA buyout, they're offering its entire workforce 8-month pay and benefits. It's as a package, as President Trump moves to downsize the federal bureaucracy. So kind of what he was doing with the other departments as well. So anyway, that's that. So, okay. I want to ask you, and we spoke about this on Sunday, and you did a great job.
Go ahead. Real quick. Yeah. I just saw some people in the chat talking about Elon and thinking that, and also saying that they're using burner accounts or go look up Sean Ryan's show with Ryan Montgomery, who he's a white hat hacker. He kind of goes into detail about how your information, if you think that a burner account is making your information private, you are absolutely out of your mind. There are so many ways to get your digital footprint that the only way that you can be anonymous is by not using it at all.
Are you saying that the burner phone that I bought at Walmart in Kentucky on my way back from Mar-a-Lago, is not going to keep me anonymous? Is that what you're saying?
If it is connected to the internet or it has a wireless signal, you are not anonymous.
Oh. Why not? I mean, it sounds like a stupid, simple question, but no one has that number. And let's say I use that at the coffee shop.
That device can be hacked. You might have encrypted messages and things like that, or you could use, you know, some encrypted programs or have an encrypted phone or things of that nature. But there are still signals that can be traced. They might not have the data within those communications, but they can still see that what the communication was, where it's connected to. The household and any smart appliances you have, a lot of them are connected back into China. I would suggest, you know, take a look at Sean Ryan's show with Ryan Montgomery, and you'll get some real good insight into that, because he knows a lot more about that. But it's very interesting. So that's all I wanted to follow.
Well, no, I'm glad, and because a lot of people are concerned about this. Look, I'm concerned about this. I carry Faraday bags around with me, for my laptop and for my cell phone. When you say hacked, I mean, are we looking at the U.S. government agencies and bad actors within? Is that who we should be afraid of, or are we looking at some other threat on this on hacking, or both? I mean, or all the above? I mean, what are we looking at?
So there's so many. So a lot of the software that you have on your devices or on your computer run DLL files, which is basically DLL file is just a file that's stored on your computer that it basically provides a shortcut for the software to communicate with any particular device in your system. So like Zoom, for instance, if we're using Zoom, Zoom has access to your camera. The way that they get access to that camera is by using a DLL file on your computer. Now that same DLL file could be used by Microsoft Teams, Google Chat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So just by any one of those programs, you have some nefarious program on your computer, you downloaded a game. Some games even have this where they're tracking your if you have a webcam or something. They can still track your movement using that video game, because that video game has access to that DLL file, which can then control your camera. So you just have to be very, very careful.
Like using Zoom, for example, is it only when you're active on Zoom that they can use that DLL file to access your camera?
No, I'm not necessarily saying it's like Zoom might not be the Trojan horse there. It could be another program that is on your computer that can actually see what's on your screen, therefore taking over your camera. So they can see the feed from Zoom, basically. They can tap into that DLL file and see which programs are using that DLL file, and then hack into it from there.
Well, that's not good. Is there any way to prevent that? I mean, how can the average person prevent that?
I don't. As far as I know, I don't know. You could maybe go to like a Linux software. You could use some open source programs. That's what we were talking about on Sunday.
Right.
If there's going to be with digital ID, your digital footprint, I think that your digital footprint should be part of your essentially those should be constitutional rights. I think your digital footprint should be part of your constitutional rights that you own. You own your data and you own your digital footprint, and that all of this information should be open source. These programs that you use should be open source, and you should have the option of declining them to collect any of that information even if you don't, like a lot of these programs say, well, if you say I decline, you can't use our program. They won't license it to you per se. So if I think what needs to happen, there needs to be some type of digital security bill, some digital footprint bill that comes out of this administration. I really hope it does, that it will guarantee your anonymity and keep your digital footprint private. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
there's too many programs out there that just cross-reference files on your computer, and it's going to be really hard to contain that. So there's going to have to be some pretty big restrictions put in place if you want to have any type of digital security or anything like that moving forward, because especially with AI.
Was that the concern with TikTok? Was that one of the concerns with TikTok? Aside
yes.
from ByteDance owning TikTok and them being close to the CCP?
Right. So TikTok doesn't do anything really different than what Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or any of those do. But when you download those programs, and Apple will give you a kind of like a disclaimer when you download that. It says, here is what you're giving this program access to when you download this program and you sign up for an account. They have access to your friends list, so phone numbers, and they can associate those phone numbers to everything else. They can, see what you're browsing they can see what you're browsing on your phone. If you have TikTok on your phone, they can see what you're browsing. They record that. They can do, they can see your emails. They can see who you're texting. They can see your chats. They have all of that information because you're technically giving them the permission to do so, even if you don't know that you are. Nobody ever reads the fine print in those terms and conditions when you sign up for it, but it's free for a reason. It's because you are the product. Your data is the product. So that is what they're collecting.
So when it was discussed, if we can get ByteDance to divest itself from TikTok, have an American company substitute, the information is still going to be available and still transferred, right? It's just not to China necessarily directly, as directly as it was. Or am I reading that wrong?
No, they're concerned. They're concerned with China having that information. Yeah, I think that was the big. The TikTok's data centers are hosted by Cisco in Texas, I believe, for the United States, and Cisco. I believe that's what it is, and I know it is hosted in the United States. But their concern is that China still has access to that information, so that's what they're trying to cut off. Even though Facebook and X and Instagram and Snapchat and all those American ones also have that, access to that same information, they just don't want China to have it for whatever reason. Obviously, they're adversarial, of course, but. But it's their terms and conditions really aren't any different than any of the other social media platforms, really.
Interesting. And the folks, this is why Josh Mez is a critical asset for us. He understands a lot. And I know we have a lot of very intelligent people listening and watching this show. But he understands a lot about the various programs and about the intrusion that we are suffering at the hands of both adversaries and our own country. Now, as we reach kind of the closing of the show in less than 27 minutes, I want to ask you about artificial intelligence, because we had this conversation with a limited number of people on Sunday. We have more now. We just saw whatever President Trump did with respect to what that half a billion or half a trillion, whatever it was, 500 billion, wasn't
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, $500 billion AI infrastructure bill.
Okay. What in the hell business do we, and I mean that literal help. To me, AI, I'm with Steve Quayle. That's alien intelligence, as opposed to artificial intelligence. And by alien, I mean fallen angel, you know, type thing. So, so can you explain all of this to me, and to the listeners and viewers, what happened and the dangers of AI? Because not only are you like Darren Beatty, you're also like Joe Allen, in terms of your knowledge. And I mean that sincerely. So what's going on with AI? What are the dangers? And I mean, just what's up? You know, what's going on with this?
Okay. So Donald Trump actually declared a national emergency over this. So instead of getting appropriated funds from Congress for this bill, he actually declared a national emergency for artificial intelligence. And that is due to our deficiency in competing with China over this particular aspect of technology. He is trying to push for a $500 billion AI infrastructure, which is absolutely unfathomable. And he's also trying to give some of these AI data centers require so much energy that they actually require their own power plant to operate. I think there's been talk about actually the nuclear facility, 3 Mile, was it 3 Mile Island? I think they're looking to privatize some of those nuclear facilities in order to maintain some of these AI data centers, because that's how much data they require, or how much energy they require for their data. yeah.
Wait a second. Okay, let me see if I can get this in my head. They're going to use a nuclear power plant.
I believe that's absolutely in the discussion for some of these facilities. Yeah.
Oh.
And
okay.
And the. Now, I don't like it as much as I'm as uncomfortable with it as anybody. But the fact is, China is doing it, and if we don't keep up with them, their AI technology will surpass ours very quickly, because AI is moving extremely fast. These systems are getting more proficient. They're getting smarter. They're becoming almost self-proficient every single day. So I think that when he declared the national emergency, that with the urgency that he's speaking of, that kind of indicates to me that he is, and as much money as he's putting towards it, that would tell you that, you know, this is a very serious issue that they look at from China, in terms of their artificial intelligence capabilities. Now, the people that he brought on stage to speak with him when he announced it.
This is, folks, this is really interesting. You remember this, ladies and gentlemen. Please listen to Josh when he tells you about this, because I thought when he first said it, I was like, ambivalent about it. But the more I looked into it, man, I think you're right on. So, folks, listen to this. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
So he brought a couple of people up on stage with him right after his meeting. And I think it was more of an impromptu press conference. I don't think that these guys were expecting that press conference to happen, because he brought them out and he just kind of ushered them in and said, "Hey, will you guys say a few words?" And they kind of looked at him dumbfounded. Not really knowing what to do. And it was one of those guys was Sam Altman, who runs OpenAI and ChatGPT, which is another creation of Elon. And Elon had created that to be an open sourced AI platform where it could be ethically maintained. And it was a nonprofit company. And As soon as Elon was out and they brought Altman in, he immediately changed it to a for-profit company and took the algorithm and all of their data offline and made it all closed source so that nobody else would have access to that platform. So basically, when that happens, they can make that AI. They could change the truth to basically whatever they want it to be. They can make it have political leanings one way or another. They can make it have bias towards one group or another. It's very dangerous, and that's what Elon was very, very up in arms about with that. And you know, whether you like Elon or you trust him or not, at least he's trying to maintain some level of integrity with the AI systems, in my opinion. But I think what we'll see, I don't think Altman will be the one that ends up running that contract, because Altman has a very, very shady past. I think Tucker Carlson interviewed one of a mother of one of his former employees that died mysteriously because he was going to be a whistleblower. So there's some, you know,
a whistleblower about what specifically?
About the software that OpenAI was using.
Okay.
I think that you know, he mysteriously ended up dead, they got no help from the authorities on that. So you know, Sam and Elon absolutely despises him, and Sam Altman was also absolutely despised Donald Trump as well. So the fact that Donald Trump brought him in, I think there's a much larger play there. I don't think that Altman will be head of that company by summer, to be honest with you. I don't know. I could see there being an ulterior motive for Trump to bring them up there. He obviously has another plan in mind. I could see this. I could obviously see Elon coming into play at some point, because the fact that he would go to somebody that despises him into a company that despises him before he would go to Elon, who's been, you know, his right-hand man throughout this entire election process, is kind of mind-boggling to me. So I have my suspicions that there's going to be some type of play there, but you know, the key with AI is it has to be open source and it has to be maintained ethically, or else it's going to, whoever creates it, whoever codes it, whoever has access to the infrastructure is going to be the one that controls information going forward. So it's you got to be very, very careful with it. And they're getting into things like quantum computing and things like that as well, which is way beyond my knowledge. But you know, I have some knowledge of it, but it's moving so quickly now that I think that the urgency in which Donald Trump is trying to say we need to catch up because we're behind China, it's better us than China having it. You know, you have to agree with it, because if he doesn't do that, if he doesn't push for this big AI development, then China is going to, or they already are. So, and it's going to be a massive tool. It's going to, you know, it's not going away, unfortunately. It's here to stay. And the only thing we can hope to do is control it. And again, that brings you back to digital privacy bills and things like that.
Okay, so what you just described, in my view, is like the Manhattan Project for AI. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an arms race involving AI that we've got to beat China. We've got
absolutely.
I get it. Okay.
It's an AI arms race. Yeah, exactly what that is.
Wow. All right, folks. I mean, anyone in the chat, do you have any questions about that? Because what's that Chinese? What was that Chinese software?
DeepSeek.
Yeah. How does that play? I mean, was that just the mode, the AI platform, I guess, for
that? That is a Chinese-owned company, and it. It is their version of ChatGPT.
Okay.
You know, and ChatGPT is now also kind of like integrated with Apple as well. in some regards. So, you know, that aside, you know, privacy concerns aside with that, that's a huge, huge deal. But DeepSeek is China's new AI model, which is competing with ChatGPT, but it's cheaper and it's better right now. But if you ask it something about the CCP, it will not give you an answer. There's all kinds of videos on there where they're asking it different questions and some other political questions and things like that. And it's saying, you know, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. So that's what I mean. When you control the AI, the information that you get out of it is basically curtailed to whoever controls the platform. So that's what Elon's big push for having an open source was. So if you ask what's the CCP, it's going to give you a straight answer and give you actual facts instead of either evading the question or giving you a false answer.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Now, I've got to ask you this, because, folks, this is Josh Mez, investigator, researcher, Hagman PI, HagmanPI.com, of course, and you can find him on social media. You can, actually. You can. It's a secret right now. Show Us Receipts, I think, is your Twitter or X account, right? Show Us Receipts.
Yep. I created a year ago. When I was doing some research for you. So it's kind of my anonymous handle right now. So
okay, good.
We'll go from there.
Show Us Receipts. Follow him. Follow Josh Mez on X. Show Us Receipts, because he's got one follower. That's how quiet he's been in the background, and that's mm-hmm. us, that's me. But anyway, in the waning time we have together, you've been around this platform for quite some time now, and you've seen a lot of things. You've been a part of a lot of things. My question to you is, I guess it's twofold. What do you see? You know about the deep state. You know a lot about the deep state. You know a lot about the WEF. You know a lot about what we talk about all of the time. What are your major? I'll ask these one at a time. What are your major concerns in the short term about? Oh, I don't know about anything that could happen. I just find it very odd. For example, the two airline incidents that we had, one with the helicopter that we discussed on Sunday, and the other private jet. It just blows my mind. If you want to mention anything about that, because again, what we talked about on Sunday was nowhere near, you know, to the audience we're talking to now. So your thoughts on that, Black Hawk versus the commercial jet, your thoughts on that?
I'm still relatively undecided about the Black Hawk incident. People were speculating that it could possibly have been commandeered, I guess, through remote technology.
Yeah.
The only problem I see with that is that Blackhawks helicopters in particular, those are not complete fly-by-wire systems. So those still have some mechanical inputs. Which the pilot is going to have the ability to override any type of automated platform. So, maybe they, said the height was wrong, or maybe they changed their altitude altered their GPS, something like that. Well, the problem with that is you still have mechanical instruments within those aircraft. You still have an altimeter in there. You still have various controls that the pilot's going to be able to use. So I don't think it was anything where it was like taken over by remote. I don't know what the purpose of it was still. I don't see how they were how their altitude was so off. You know, like I was saying before, those helicopters, they can land, they can put their tires on a quarter when they land. They're very precise. They had, you know, the one pilot, they were doing a check flight, which is, so you have your instructor pilot, and then you have your student pilot, I guess is the best way to put it. And the pilot in charge there had had thousands of hours of flight time.
No, that was a male pilot, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see how, especially flying in that airspace and that type of aircraft, doing who was a priority air transport pilot, those are some of the best helicopter pilots in the world, if not the best helicopter pilots in the world. So,
okay,
having it be anything other than, you know, having that helicopter hit that aircraft at that specific point in time, just happened to be directly over the river, so nobody got hurt on the ground, and the point where it intercepted the aircraft at, and the height at which the helicopter was flying, I just don't see any way that it was not, that it was an accident. I don't see how that's possible. I really don't.
And believe it or not, folks, probably I don't know, 10 years ago, I watched Josh Mez pilot an aircraft, and it scared the living daylights out of me. Okay. But I won't go any further than saying that. So he's got flying experience. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. What is in kind of to wrap things up? We've got we've had so much news, so many things happen. What should we be looking for based on your research? And you develop a tempo. I believe this. I know when I do research, I develop a certain tempo, and you can feel when that tempo might change a little bit or have some sort of disturbance in the force, so to speak. What should we be looking out for, like a black swan event, if any, in your estimation, in the near term, or maybe in the next couple of weeks, months, or whatever, but a black swan event. Your thoughts on something like that?
I think as we see the deep state systematically deconstructed, I think they are going to have no choice but to ramp up their intentions. You know,
against President Trump and against the good guys, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I could see there being some type of false flag events. Now, I found it very strange how Donald Trump said today that if Iran made an attempt on his life, that he left instructions. Well, I don't know how would that work, because if they do take his life, the continuity of government immediately takes over at that point, correct? So
yeah,
would his instructions be followed at that point? I don't know.
Well, I think
It also gives me concern that gives the deep state an out to make an attempt on it, because they can say, look what Iran just tried to do. So I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure that he's making those statements for a particular reason. We know he always does that. We know when he says something there, we know by now that when he says something, there's often a much deeper meaning behind it, even if it sounds silly, even if it sounds, you know, way out in left field somewhere. We know that he speaks intentionally. So I would be worried about some type of false flag event where Iran would try to get blamed for something, even if it was unsuccessful. And hopefully, you know, I think he can see this stuff coming from a mile away at this point. I think he's very well, you know, I think he's very well secured. I think they know exactly what they're doing, but it doesn't mean they're not going to try. So that is what I'd be concerned with.
I kind of thought of that, but I didn't see that coming as the contextual backdrop for an event. But I think you're absolutely right. I know that, you know, personally, I've got my wishes written out. Okay. But so what? I mean, who am I? But I mean, some people do that. I would expect President Trump to do that, but maybe not to the extent that was made public. So, yeah, I've got a...
Well, yeah, and he could have a will, but that doesn't mean, you know, if he passes away, J.D. Vance takes over immediately, so are Donald Trump's orders still standing? That would be my question. I would expect that J.D. Vance would probably execute those orders immediately, but, you know, I really don't see us having to worry about that right now.
Hopefully not.
I don't think so. I think he's pretty well isolated and insulated from any of those events happening to him.
But I will say in closing, in the final moments, you know, if anything does happen to President Trump, Vance, or anyone, really anyone in the government, the current government, cabinet selections and such, I'll tell you what, people better look at Maxine Waters and Elizabeth Warren and the people on the left who are trying to cause these attacks on President Trump, and including and especially these little Muppets on Reddit and these forums like the Sewage Pit Democratic Underground. It's nothing but hatred against our side. And I'm sick of it. I really am. I'm sick of these people getting away with this. And thankfully, Ed Martin, the assistant or the prosecutor right now in D.C., is investigating Schumer for his threats against Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. So, you know, but that's 5 years plus or 5 years too late, I think. But it should happen right now with Waters and everyone else, Presley, as we mentioned earlier. But that's my belief. So if anything does happen, I'm afraid that it would be because of the hatred drafted by these people. All right, my man, I'll tell you what a fantastic time. I really appreciate your time, and I know that you are very busy in a number of different areas of business and personal. So I really appreciate you coming on. What'd you think?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, great time.
Great time. I got sit right there for a second. Chat, what do you think? Need him back or what? What are your thoughts in chat? Come on now. I know I'm about, like I said, 5 to 10 seconds behind, but should we have Josh come back? Okay. Uh-huh. Yes. Hope, faith, love, truth, and 80s forever. Yes. Okay. Mez rocks. Eric the Tech, what do you think? Come on.
I think he should come back.
I thought maybe you'd say that, and I thought maybe you might have a soundbite for me, but that's all right. So someone asked if you Linux. Do you
that
Linux?
That would be an amazing thing if that happened.
we can get into the Linux platforms and stuff like that.
All right. All right, my brother, we are out of time. I want to say thank you so very much for being part of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. I know you probably had a million things to do. Maybe you're listening to this in the background. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for joining Rumble, creating an account and following us. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening on X. If that's what you were doing, tell others about this show as well. This program going to be having a solid week this week, so just 30. Stay tuned. And again, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate your support and I appreciate your trust and your belief in this platform. May God bless each and every one of you.